It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery with the second broadcast about our great national holiday, Thanksgiving. We will be getting into that in a few minutes, showing the origin of our Thanksgiving feast from the Bible, its history, and its prophetic significance. First, I'll offer our free literature for November. This month you will receive our printed article titled Thanksgiving in America. This includes most of what you will hear on this series on Thanksgiving. We have two excerpts from William Bradford's History of the Plymouth Plantation, and one tells of the beautiful and strange miracle which God wrought in the summer of 1623, the miracle which caused the pilgrims to proclaim that first day of Thanksgiving. In the pamphlet is also the Mayflower Compact, the poem, The Landing of the Pilgrims, and a two-page excerpt from Daniel Webster's speech given in 1820 at the dedication of the monument to the pilgrims unveiled at Plymouth 200 years after they landed. On the last page, we have reproduced George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789, all for you in that pamphlet. I believe the reading of this pamphlet on Thanksgiving will give you a new insight into the wonderful feast America celebrates each year and a greater understanding of the role of the faithful Christian pilgrims who left home and friends to risk their lives crossing the stormy Atlantic to an unknown and forbidding land. We owe them much, and God's hand was in all of it. Thanksgiving in America will be sent to you when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, and ask for the November packet. That's America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. You will also receive our book review sheet on the 13th Tribe, a new book recently published in America. For new listeners who may not yet have heard of this book, it is an historical research work by a Jew who has researched the racial origins of the modern Jewish people, and he concludes that most are not Israelites, that they are not the Semitic racial descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The book identifies the modern Jews as a non-Semitic people of Eastern Europe who adopted Judaism as a religion in the 8th century, over 1,200 years ago, and are known as Jews because of their religion, not because of their race. The thing which makes this book so important, other than that it refutes most Christian prophecy preaching today, is that it is currently a bestseller. It is an alternate selection on the Book of the Month Club, and it has been reviewed by such major newspapers as the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, even by Newsweek magazine. Because of the book's startling revelations, we also prepared a book review sheet on it, which you will receive in our November packet. I believe this book may have more effect on future Christian preaching than any other book published so far in the 20th century, and that is quite a statement. Anyway, you can read about the 13th Tribe in our November packet. The November packet also includes our pamphlet, The Poison Needle, I may have a little time to discuss that later, but I do want to get on with our study of Thanksgiving. To receive all of this literature and more, free and postpaid, write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. Ask for the free November packet. You don't have to remember all of the items that I have mentioned. Just ask for the November packet. The address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010, and I would appreciate it if you would indicate in your letter or card the station over which you heard this broadcast. Thanksgiving in America. Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4 and verse 6. In Colossians 2, we are told Christians are to be established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. A score of passages in the New Testament tell us that Christianity is a religion of thanksgiving unto God. Thanksgiving is a Christian virtue. But as we think of our Thanksgiving holiday, where our national leaders decree the setting aside of one day each year and urge all citizens to stop work, enjoy a feast, and thank God for the good things of the land, we realize there must be more than Christianity at work here. The leaders who issue the Thanksgiving proclamation from the White House and the governor's mansions are often not Christians, and this strange feast day is then participated in by millions who would not be considered Christians by most churches. As I mentioned last week, millions of Americans, people who never hear or ask grace at meals, who never give God thanks for any of the other 1,000 or more meals they eat the rest of the year, seat themselves around a feast table on this one day in the year, and someone there usually thanks God for all of them for this one meal and often adds a general thanks to God for all of their other blessings. How in the world does such a thing come about? And why only in America? They don't do it in Asia nor in Africa. In fact, hardly is such a thing observed in Europe, and then only by individuals, not by nations. Only Canada, our brother nation to the north, has a similar national holiday. So it still boils down to this North American continent, where civil authority decrees thanksgiving unto God once a year. Well, I believe it is not only God's hand which brought this about, but I believe the reason for it can be found in the Bible, specifically in God's covenant which he made with his people Israel. Last week we read verse 14 through 17 in Exodus 23 of the Mount Sinai covenant God made with Israel after their exodus out of Egypt. Let's read those verses again, for they have a direct bearing on Thanksgiving in America. Exodus 23, verse 14 through 17. "Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest, the firstfruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field." We are interested here in the third feast, called the Feast of Ingathering. The time when it was to be held is given as, quote, "in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field." For those who were not with us last week, and who might think this old covenant has no bearing on Christianity today, I did explain last week the New Testament observance of the first two feasts mentioned here. I'll repeat that just briefly. They are explained in more detail in the pamphlet, Thanksgiving in America, which you will receive if you write and ask for the November packet. The first one, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is observed with the Passover, or what we call the communion service. All Israel was to come before God at that time and observe that feast. Christendom does that in the communion service. The second feast, the Feast of the Harvest, is explained by the phrase, "the first fruits of thy labors." That is the giving of the tithe, or the tenth, of one's income to the Levites. All who tithe in Christendom observe that feast or that ordinance. And remember now, these are not strictly religious feasts per se. These were to be observed by the whole nation of Israel. God gave this command to Israel through Moses, who was the civil ruler, not through Aaron, who was the priest. Now on to the Feast of the Ingathering, or the Feast of the Harvest, or the American Thanksgiving. This third feast of Exodus 23, which Israel was to keep, was called the Feast of the Ingathering, and the time of the year was stipulated as when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Where would we find such a feast being observed today? Would it not be logical to expect it among the children of Israel? Almost every Christian American knows it was the Pilgrims who began what has now become a national custom, the setting aside of a day of Thanksgiving. But how few may have any understanding of why they did such a thing, or the circumstances which led them to do so. So I will read a short excerpt of William Bradford's History of the Plymouth Plantation, which is reproduced in our pamphlet, Thanksgiving in America. In this, William Bradford recounts some of the trials and troubles in England and the move to Holland. Quote, "They went from England to Holland, where they found both worse air and diet than they came from. From thence, enduring a long imprisonment, as it were, in the ships at sea into New England. And how it hath been with them here hath already been shown, and what crosses, troubles, fears, wants, and sorrows they had been liable to, it is easy to conjecture. So as in some sort they may say with the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 11, they were in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of their own nation, in perils among the heathen, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. What was it then that upheld them? It was God's visitation that preserved their spirits." Job 10:12. "Thou hast given me life and grace, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." He that upheld the apostle upheld them. They were persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but perished not, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed. God, it seems, would have all men to behold and observe such mercies and works of his providence as these are toward his people, that they in like cases might be encouraged to depend upon God in their trials, and also bless his name when they see his goodness toward others. And then he goes on more, showing, briefly, the tremendous trials, sorrows, and troubles suffered by the Pilgrims, yet they knew God upheld them. We have reproduced that small part and a little more in our pamphlet, and it is but a summing up by Mr. Bradford of over 100 previous pages in his journal of years of persecution in England and the years of discouragement in Holland. Many of the Pilgrims had been imprisoned. Many had their homes sacked, their possessions either destroyed or confiscated by the authorities for their persistence in holding worship services not authorized by the Crown. Few Christian Americans today have a true vision of the suffering of those who were literally driven out of England by the state church. The enemies of Christendom have been writing the school textbooks in America for over two generations, and they ridicule or make light of the events preceding the founding of the American colonies. They often completely delete the history of these first generations of Christians in America. That these pilgrims' purpose in making the dangerous voyage to a new and strange land was based entirely on godly and Christian motives can be deduced from their simple purpose and hope expressed by William Bradford in these lines, quote, "Lastly, and which was not least, a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world, yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work." Just think, for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. This was the noble purpose and the only desire of the pilgrims. As they left Holland for England to board the Mayflower, John Robinson, their pastor, likened them to the children of Israel leaving Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem. He used as his text Ezra 8, verse 21, quoting Ezra, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance." Then followed the frightful, at least for land-bound English men and women, 66-day voyage to America. It afflicted them with sickness, bad food, and bad water, but left their high purpose undaunted, for they wrote in the Mayflower Compact, signed before they set foot in America, that they came, quote, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." We have reproduced the entire Mayflower Compact in our pamphlet for this month, along with the photograph of the large painting in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., of the pilgrims praying on the deck of the Mayflower. Then also in a short preface of Neal's History of the Puritans, I read this: "The glories of Christianity in England are to be traced in the sufferings of confessors and martyrs in the 16th and 17th centuries, and it was under the influence of Christian principles imbibed at this very period that the Mayflower brought over the band of pilgrims to Plymouth. We should never forget that the prison, the scaffold, and the stake were stages in the march of civil and religious liberty which our forefathers had to travel in order that we might attain our present liberty. Before our children remove their religious connections, before they leave the old paths of God's Word, before they barter their birthright for a mess of pottage, let us place in their hands this chronicle of the glorious days of the suffering churches, and let them know that they are the sons of the men of whom the world was not worthy, and whose suffering for conscience' sake are here monumentally recorded." We have reproduced that in our tract, Thanksgiving in America, because our pamphlet itself, we believe, is placing before our children a chronicle of the glorious days of their pilgrim fathers. We have also reproduced in this tract the poem, The Landing of the Pilgrims, and I believe it is necessary for us to understand the pilgrims before we can understand why God saw fit to reinstate among these people the third feast in Israel, Thanksgiving. This is reproduced in our pamphlet for our November packet from a textbook I had in grade school many years ago, The Landing of the Pilgrims, written by Felicia D. Jimenez. The breaking waves dashed high on a stern and rock-bound coast, and the woods against a stormy sky their giant branches tossed, and the heavy night hung dark, the hills in water o'er, when a band of exiles moored their bark on the wild New England shore. Not as the conqueror comes, they the true-hearted came, not with the roll of the stirring drums and the trumpet that sings of fame, not as the flying come in silence and in fear, they shook the depths of the desert's gloom with their hymns of lofty cheer. Amid the storm they sang, and the stars heard, and the sea, and the sounding aisles of the dim woods rang to the anthem of the free. The ocean eagle soared from his nest by the white waves' foam, and the rocking pines of the forest roared. This was their welcome home. There was woman's fearless eye, lit by her deep love's truth. There was manhood's brow serenely high, and the fiery heart of youth. What sought they thus afar? Bright jewels of the mine, the wealth of seas, the spoils of war? They sought a faith's pure shrine. I call it holy ground, the soil where first they trod. They have left unstained what there they found, freedom to worship God. Some may think the poems and accounts of the Christian people who first came to these shores are too highly romanticized, or that we may too much exalt their pious motives or character. Perhaps this is partially true, but at the same time, let us not forget that their travels, their work, and their lives were often hard, sometimes extremely so, and many of these courageous Christian forefathers of ours died untimely deaths. Those who worked so hard, suffered so much, and dreamed such great dreams had a large part in the creation of the greatest Christian nation of all history, the United States of America. Neither they nor their motives should be forgotten or slighted. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. God willing, next week I will read Governor Bradford's account of the great miracle of God in the summer of 1623, the miracle which led to the proclamation of the first Thanksgiving Day, or the reinstatement of the third Feast of Israel in America. Meanwhile, write for our free November packet, which includes this pamphlet on Thanksgiving in America. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. Ask for the November packet. If you know it, please include the call letters of the station to which you are now listening. We would appreciate it. You'll also receive our review of that book, The 13th Tribe. You should pass it on to your minister. We are not sending the book, but we printed up a sheet on this because Mr. Kessler, the author, shows conclusive historical proof that the people called Jews today are almost all descendants of a non-Semitic people of Eastern Europe and have no racial ancestry in Israel. Preachers for 50 years have told us the Jews are Israel and have interpreted Bible prophecy with that understanding. Mr. Kessler proves they are not. This is a most startling book, certain to have an effect on Christians and America in the next years. We will enclose with the November packet our pamphlet, The Poisoned Needle, about vaccinations. Also, the news report about the government doctor in Washington, D.C., who warned of the dangers of the swine flu vaccine and was promptly fired. Government agents confiscated his research papers and killed the animals being tested with the swine flu vaccine. Also deserving of mention is an article in the Glendale News Press of Glendale, California, Friday, September 24, 1976. Big headline, Swine Flu Vaccine, Australian Physician Calls It Murder. Quoting from the article, a noted Australian physician has shocked the American medical community, calling the impending swine flu immunization program a plan for mass murder. Reading on, Dr. Archie Calacarinos told this newspaper In an exclusive interview Wednesday, it will be nothing short of murder to vaccinate people against the disease without extensive individual medical tests. Immunization can cause sudden death, says the physician, who gained notoriety several years ago when he discovered similar mass immunization programs were responsible for the death of half the Aborigine babies born in Australia. End of quote from the article. Then follows a quarter page telling how the flu vaccine causes the body to withdraw vitamin C from vital organs, damaging them immediately, and in the elderly and the sick may bring on heart attacks or other organ dysfunction, bringing death within hours or weakening the person so they die later. American Nobel Prize-winning scientist Linus Pauling said over 2 months ago, Americans should take vitamin C to protect themselves. But such a simple warning that massive doses of vitamin C could prevent death and injury from the swine flu vaccine has never been issued by the government to the people. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment, right for that November packet. God willing, we will continue next week on Thanksgiving in America. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.